One of my good friends in the land of Oz has asked the question, just how do we pray? What do we pray for? Are there specific words? Just what do we do? How do we pray for our loved ones? And that is a wonderful question, because prayer is a subject that is infinite in scope. And so this question gives me an opportunity to go within and pray in order to discover exactly what it is that this experience called prayer is. And so I thank you for this opportunity, and I will do my best to share what prayer is to me. I guess I started with prayer just like many others. I was taught the prayer of bedtime when I was but a child. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I think probably in Sunday school I learned in Sunday school the prayer that we pray at the dinner table. But neither of these prayers served me any purpose other than taking a moment out of my playtime to think of God. But it was only a moment, and as soon as I could, I went back to playing. And I think that's what we do in our religious life, or maybe even our spiritual walk, until we learn better. I was told by a man once that most people remember God once a year when they attend midnight mass or in some other way celebrate the birth of Christ. And he said some people remember God twice a year, once on Christmas and once on Easter. And then there are those that remember God once a week on Sunday or Saturday when they attend church or temple. But we were told by Paul that for those of us that are seriously walking a spiritual path, we need to pray without ceasing. Now, that's quite a suggestion, to pray without ceasing. How in the world are we going to pray without ceasing and get anything done? And yet elsewhere we are told to acknowledge Him in all our ways, and He shall direct our paths. Well, doggone it, I can tell you that as a teenager, when I started to seriously want to know more about God, my attempts at remembering God constantly failed pretty miserably. In the first place, I would get up around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and by the time I thought of God, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. And three or four hours had gone by, and I hadn't thought of God once. And then The next time I seem to remember, God might be at the dinner table if we remember to say grace, or not even until I got ready for bed and laying down to fall asleep, I remembered that I had forgotten. So it frustrated me. How do you remember God constantly? How do you pray without ceasing? And what is prayer anyway? And that started my search. My search led me to the infinite way and to discover the nature of prayer as it is presented in the infinite way writings and on the tapes. And even when the direction is given, the specific direction, even then I think it takes, well, for me it took many years to discover the secret of prayer. We are told in the infinite way that the best place to start learning the principles is in this book called Practicing the Presence. And in it, looking this morning, I found this. It says, in the infinite way, we engage in what is called spiritual healing. So we must have a principle which is exact. There must be no deviation from it, any more than there is a deviation from the principles of mathematics or music. The spiritual healing principle is that God is love, God is life, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is too pure to behold iniquity. But if we can be made to believe that God tolerates sickness, knows about it, permits it, or is trying to test us or punish us with it, we have lost all possibility of ever producing a healing. And that's an important point, because even as a child, I could not accept that kind of a God. We all have the same questions. If there is God, how can He permit such suffering? And if it is someone that is close to us, someone that we love personally, it really, really bothers us. How can God allow that person to suffer? When we turn to church, very often we are told that God is testing us. And I just could not have never been able to accept that. God is teaching me a lesson, and therefore permitting my suffering. I just couldn't stomach it, even as a child, even as a young adult. And I know that works for many people, because I have met them, and they seem to be able to accept that, but somewhere in the depths of my soul, it just revolted. I just couldn't accept it. I thought of the people I love. Would I give them suffering in order to test them? Would I even give them suffering to help them grow? No. No. The love I have for them would never permit me to give them suffering for their so-called good. And if I, being limited, have enough love to not want to give suffering to anyone, how much more does God, who is infinite love? Therefore, I could never and cannot accept a God that tests us. Not only that, since I have come to see that God is one, one life with many faces, and God knows itself as itself everywhere, what would there be to test? Is God suffering from an illusion? No. No, that just does not compute for me. Alright, so I know that I'm supposed to pray without ceasing. And I know that there is, in the infinite way, a specific principle that will heal people and situations and problems. But what is it? How do I find it? Well, I had to first reach a point in my life where I was desperate enough to decide to throw everything I had into the search for the answer. I had to decide that I was willing to go to any length to find this answer, and to throw my entire being into it. And it was only in that way that I could find the answer. And I have found it. And I want to share it with you today. Now, I'm not going to gloss over this. This takes work. It takes effort. It takes practice in order to find out what prayer is and to pray without ceasing. And the best way I can explain this is to tell you an experience that I had and then explain the principles. I guess it was 1976 or 77. And I was married to someone that was not wanting to practice these principles. And I was wanting to practice these principles. And being only 19 or 20 years old, I had not found a way to practice these principles and be there for my wife. I had not found that way to balance that. And so we were having difficulties. I wanted to study and meditate, and she wanted to go out dancing and other things. And so there was a conflict of interests. And it got worse and worse. And of course, I did not yet know how to pray rightly. And it reached the place where one day I came home from work. And when I walked into the house, there was a note there saying that she had left. Well, let me tell you, I just emotionally, mentally fell apart. My world was ending, I thought. And it hurt bad. And I went to a man that I considered spiritual and asked him what to do. And if I live to be 110, I'll never forget what he said, because this was a turning point in my spiritual walk. He said to me, most people would get out of this problem by transferring their feelings to another woman. But if you did that, you would be just as dependent on the next one for your happiness as you are dependent on this one. Because this is not love. If it was love, you would not be hurting. This is dependency. He said the only solution that will bring true freedom is to transfer your feelings to God. Well, I said, how can I do that? At night, when I lie down in bed, I can't hold God in my arms. There's just this big king-sized bed, and I'm the only one in it. How can I transfer my feelings to God, whom I can't see or touch or feel or hear or smell? I don't know how to do that. How do you transfer your feelings to something that's invisible? And he said he couldn't tell me, that I had to discover it. And he sent me home to read The Art of Meditation, one of the Infinite Way books. And so I went home, and my mind wouldn't let me rest. Kept showing me pictures of her with other guys, because by now she had started dating. And I could find no peace. One night I was emotionally bouncing off the walls, and I called him and I said, Don, I don't have any questions. I just need to hear your voice. And he said to me, you know, God doesn't come to the big shots in the world. God comes to the little nobodies like you. He said, you're going to get this thing. You're going to find the answer. And when you become free, you'll never have to go through this again. And I said, but what do I do with my mind? It's just showing me all these pictures. He said to me, well, you're living by yourself, so you just talk out loud to that mind. And you tell it. When it starts showing you these pictures, you say, hey, I've given that problem to God. That's not mine now. And I said, okay, I'll try it. And I hung up the phone. And so I had two tools, only two. One was to tell my mind to be quiet, be still. I've given that problem to God. I'm not working on it anymore. And the other was to transfer my love to God. And that's all I had. And so flipping through the pages of that book, The Art of Meditation, I found a chapter called For Love Is of God. And I thought, well, maybe there's an answer in there. And now let me sort of paint the scene for you so you can see just how desperate I was. In the daytime, I was so depressed that I would push my body around at work, just drag it around, trying to get through the day. And when 4 o'clock or 4:30 came and I punched out at the time clock, I would get on the bus and go home, walk down the driveway, open the door of the house, and search the whole house to see if she had returned or if she had been there. Nope, no one was there but me. I was alone. I would go into the baby's room because we had a 1-year-old child. And I would look around the empty room, blue walls, wood floor, some dust balls, but the baby furniture was gone. No crib. Nothing. No, not even a rattle. And when I was convinced that the house was empty other than me, I would pull down the shade, lock the door, plop down on the couch, and just cry like a baby. My world was gone. My family was gone. And then I would ask God to please help me. and clean myself up and try to eat some dinner, but nothing tasted good. You get the picture. That was my state internally. And with that state, I sat down in my chair, which I used for meditation. I opened that book and I read that chapter, For Love Is of God. And it said in there, the only way that we can love God is by loving His creation, for God and His creation are one. And to those who love God by loving His creation, the promise is literally kept, Son, all that I have is thine. And something started to click inside. And I made the decision that I would pretend that God was inside of everybody and everything. And I would focus on that and try to love the God within everybody and everything. Now, I did not have the conscious awareness of it, but I decided to just practice that principle anyway. And so I threw my entire being into it. I practiced it as if my life depended on it. Saturday morning, I got up, and immediately the mind jumped in there. She's this, she's that, where is she, will she ever come? And I said, no, no, I've given that to God. You go away now. And I just started talking out loud to God. I looked in the kitchen, and there was dishes to be done, and I started doing the dishes, talking to God. Look, God, look how clean this one is. I can see myself in it. I hope you like it, and I put it in the dish drainer. When I finished the dishes, I said, God, what would you like to do today? What would you like to do? And then it dawned on me, if I had a new girlfriend, I would call her up and I would say, what would you like to do today? And if she said, I would like to go to the beach, well, you know, that's what we would do. We would go to the beach. Because that's how it is when you're in love. You give your beloved what you can. And I thought, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to transfer that to God. And so I said, God, what would you like to do today? Let me know if there's something I can do for you, if I can help you, or help your children in some way. And I threw my entire self into that. And after I was done cleaning the house, the phone rang. I picked it up, I answered it. It was somebody that needed to talk. And I said, sure, come on over. When they came over to the house, I said within myself, silently, Father, how may I best be of service? Thy will be done, not mine. But out here, I said, hello, would you like a cup of coffee? Have a seat. Make yourself at home. And something began to happen. I had a plant in the living room. It was a wandering Jew. And the plant never got any sunshine. But, loving God inside His creation, I would talk to the plant and say, hi, how are you, Father? You look a little thirsty, and I would give it a drink of water. I had a cat, and when the cat would come to the back door, I'd say, hi, Father, how are you? Are you hungry? And you see, in this way, remember, I was only 20, in this way, I was transferring my feelings, my thought, and my attention to the infinite invisible within all creation. And something wonderful began to happen. One night after my meditation, I lay down to sleep, and I heard in a very clear voice, God doesn't need prayer. God already is. Man needs prayer in order to let God is. And I jumped up and I wrote it down, and I still have it. And what a revelation that was. God is constantly ising. There is no time or place where God does not exist. God is omnipresent. But in order to experience God, I have to pray in order to create an opening through which God can flow. In order to create an opening, an avenue of awareness through which I can become aware of that presence. And I suddenly understood prayer. I had a beginning understanding of prayer, what true prayer is. Prayer is becoming aware of the presence of God. The actual living awareness of that presence, the feeling or sensing that presence, is what prayer is. It's not the words that I was using 100 times a day whenever I said, God, what do you want to do today? It's your ball game, it's your show. It wasn't the words. No. It was the pausing for a moment to listen. And so true prayer is listening. Now, we've put it into other terms as we've matured, and we've realized that prayer is perhaps the talking that comes before the listening, and meditation is the listening. But it can also be said that true prayer is listening and being receptive and creating an opening through which God can happen. Now, when we take a book such as Practicing the Presence, what we are doing is what I was doing by remembering God throughout the day. Because I remembered God before I ate, I remembered God before I stepped out the front door, I remembered God every time the telephone rang, I remembered God every time I walked into a building, whether it was work, a spiritual gathering, or just my own front door. I was practicing the presence. And that's important to do because it is by practicing the presence that we arrive at the place where within our being, during one of our meditations, God happens. It is said here in Practicing the Presence, as we persist in this throughout the day, the night, the week, the month, gradually we reach a point where the recognition of God's presence is as automatic as driving an automobile. When we were learning to drive an automobile, we had to watch our left foot and our left hand and our right hand. But by the end of a month, we were driving without taking thought. So it is with this. At the end of a month, we shall find that we do not have to think consciously about God as one, or God as life. We do not have to think of that at all, because it will be so much a part of our consciousness that the moment a suggestion of evil touches us, it is erased without any conscious effort on our part. So you see, we start with practicing the presence, and that's what I had learned. And what I started out pretending became an actual living experience, because I started to sense and feel and know God behind every living thing, or God within every living thing. I felt its presence there. Not just thinking about it anymore, but actually sensing it. And it responded when I recognized it, with my acknowledgement of God's presence, it responded. Because you see, the plant I had in the living room that never got any sunshine just flourished. It responded. My recognizing the presence of God at the center of that plant, my recognizing the essence of God there, it responded. And people that came over to talk, their problems would come up and out and just melt there in the living room. I wasn't doing this, I was watching this happen. That's why I say, when we practice the presence, we create an opening through which God happens. It's not that we, by taking much thought, are making something happen. It's that we, by remembering to practice the presence, are pausing. It's the pausing from taking thought. It's the quietness, the silence, those little seconds of stillness that create the opening. And so, wow, what a discovery. And I fell head over heels in love with the presence of God everywhere. And I went back to this man and I told him, this is absolutely fabulous. I have transferred my feelings, my attention, the allness of my being to the presence of God. And the presence of God has made itself known to me, has disclosed itself to me within every living thing. And it's wonderful. And of course he said, well, what took you so long? As if he'd known it the whole time, which he had. And so this taught me that very, very valuable truth, that God doesn't need prayer. God already is. We need prayer in order to let God is. Now, let's get into this a little bit more deeply. This is probably going to be a longer talk. It may have to be spread into two, but we'll try to get it into one. One more thing from practicing the presence. It says, to practice this hour after hour, day in and day out, for 1 month or 2 months, holding to God as the law of our being, God as the source of our good, and God as the activity of our day, changes our entire experience. And that's what I had done. I was practicing hour after hour, day after day, for 2 solid months. God is omnipresent and at the center of every living thing. He says, at first this is all in the realm of the mind. Yes, at first we're working, we're taking thought. But by constant practice it leaves the realm of the mind and comes down into the heart, into the awareness, into consciousness, and then it takes over and lives our experience. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you. By practicing this principle that I was practicing, it left the realm of the mind and became for me a living, vibrant experience. I felt the presence of God in everyone and everything. And it was wonderful, truly, the kingdom of God right here on earth. Now, let's get into some of the mechanics of this. All right, so as I begin to progress with prayer, I encountered problems of one form or another, and I wanted to know, well, now how does Joel meet these problems? Because he carried on an active practice of spiritual healing. And sometimes he would meet over 300 cases a day. And that's a lot of time, or that's a lot of phone calls, isn't it? Or telegrams, or letters. And yet he met them. In other words, by meeting them, I mean that he went into this true prayer we're discussing. And the problem dissolved. The problem was met. It disappeared. And so I wanted to know, just how did he do that? Obviously, he had discovered what Paul meant by praying without ceasing. But it couldn't be sitting down and going through a certain set of words or a formula, could it? My God, over 300 cases a day? If he took an hour with each case, well, there's just not enough hours in the day. So then what was he doing? So I began to read in earnest, because I had discovered what prayer was, but I didn't know how to pray without ceasing. And I began to see that prayer is something that happens within our being when we create this opening. Prayer is something we become aware of within our consciousness. Prayer is not the words and the thoughts that we use. No, that's just contemplation, where we are contemplating truth and looking at it and mulling it over. But that's not prayer. Because if there's a problem that's confronting you, a difficult situation, even a physical problem, and you contemplate truth, and that's all. You just think about truth and then say a few words to God and get up and go about your business. The problem's going to remain, and most of us know that. So something else is required. What is that something? The something that is missing from our prayer is the presence of the living God. Over and over again, it is explained in the writings that God is an experience. And so I began to see that somehow when he would meet these 300 cases a day, and each and every time he turned within, there was a God experience. There had to be, or the problem wouldn't be met. As a human being, there's nothing I can pray that will meet a problem. And I know this from experience, from trying to meet it myself, from trying to know certain truth. But didn't the Master tell us that these are vain repetitions? And so knowing the truth with the mind over and over again is not going to meet whatever claim is being presented to me of limitation or lack. No, that's not going to meet the problem. Well, then what is? And again, I realize that only the presence of God. So now I'm down to the nitty-gritty here. How do I get or have, let's say have, how do I have this God experience each time I turn within? Or if I'm just beginning, how do I have this God experience at all? And there are specific principles that we are given to do that. Now, the first thing that I need to do, and I don't care where the problem is, whether it's in your family, in your neighbors, or even in the world, the very first thing I need to do is to remember that I am not permitted to bring the problem into my meditation at all, ever. And so somehow or another, I have to leave the problem outside my temple before I come within. In order to experience the presence of God, I have to have a clear opening. If the opening is plugged up with the problem I'm wrestling with, I'm not going to have that experience. And only the experience of God can meet the problem, can dissolve it. Now, We can use whatever helps us to remember to leave the problem outside. And that's why, so often, we start with contemplation. Because most of the time, if we are involved with the problem, there are some emotions that are involved with it. In one way or another, we are attached. If it's someone we love and are really emotionally involved with, it seems to be that much more difficult, doesn't it? Oh gosh, it's so hard to see them suffering. But that very involvement emotionally is what prevents us from having a God experience. And I'm sorry, I wish it was another way, but it's not. That's the truth. The best I can give you is that if you are emotionally involved in the problem, you're going to have to find a way to get free from that before you can become still enough to have a God experience. So, we have discovered that we can use contemplation to do that. And so that's why we take into our contemplation some truth that reminds us that we can let go. One of my favorites, at least one that returns again and again for me, is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And so I may sit down with a problem and be struggling with it, and then take that into my contemplation. Now realize that the contemplative part of your prayer is only for one reason and one reason only. And that is so that you can become calm, become quiet, become still, and enter the silence. And in the silence, God happens. There's an experience of God, an awareness of God. And that awareness of reality dissolves the problem. God speaks and the earth melts. And that's the only thing that meets the problem, nothing that you or I can do. And so we are contemplating in order to become still. And looking at that, not by might, not by physical might, nor by power, nor by thought-taking, or by mental power, but by my spirit. Okay, that's right. I need to not struggle physically. I need to not take a lot of thought. I need to become still. And anything that you use that helps you become still is perfectly fine. In any spiritual book, any scripture, it does not matter. Because again, God is. God doesn't need my prayer. I need prayer in order to experience the isness of God. And so now I'm becoming calm inside. Okay. I don't have to struggle with the problem. I need to set it outside my temple. I need to close my eyes. And I need to become quiet. And if I have reached a stage of stillness, then I invite the Spirit of God, because it's by my Spirit. And so I may say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Or I may say, "Thy will be done." Or I just may get still and have the attitude, "I am listening." The point is that I have become still inside. I have become receptive to that presence. I have created an opening. The mind has become quiet and can now be an avenue of awareness. And I am awaiting the presence of the Lord. And if you are still not quiet inside, then contemplate some more truth. Remember every truth you can. And eventually you will reach the place where your thought will naturally become quiet. And here's where the miracle takes place. Because the experience of God will dissolve the problem. Yes. The experience of God will dissolve the problem. And it may take more than one sitting, let's say. more than one experience. If we have become so emotionally attached to the problem that we cannot get free very easily, then this, for us, is an individual experience, and we may need to have this experience more than once. That is why Joel tells us that some problems don't yield right away. He says that we may have to have this meditation 50 times for a specific problem, or 100. And so here's the point that I'm making. True prayer is this inner God experience. But in the beginning, when we are new at this, it takes practice. Something that appears to me today that I'm able to blink my eyes or just close them for 5 seconds and get a feeling of the presence and open my eyes again and that problem disappears, 10 or 20 years ago may have taken me 2 or 3 hours to get quiet. Do you see? It is always the same answer. The presence of God will meet any problem ever presented. When God speaks, the earth melts. Period. That's an absolute. But God must speak. You must feel the movement of the Christ within you. You must have an awareness of that presence. And only an awareness will do the work, not a thought. Nobody on earth can heal, and nobody on earth ever will heal. What takes place is they step out of the way, become quiet, and the presence moves. Now the presence is always moving, but we do not come into the experience of it until we create that opening. It's just like electricity. Electricity is constantly available to light my room that I'm in. But unless I throw the switch and create a receptivity, then the electricity will not reach my light overhead here. And it doesn't matter if I have a doctorate in electrical engineering. If I do not throw that switch, I can talk forever about the light, but I'll be sitting in the dark, won't I? And spiritual principles are just as precise as electricity, more so. If I create the opening within and I experience the God presence, then that light dissolves the darkness. If I have thoughts about it only in words in a book, it will not be met, no matter how wonderful it sounds. And so, although God is constantly available, it will do me no good until I learn this practice of meditation. So do you see where in the beginning it takes work, but later it becomes automatic? And so don't be discouraged if there are problems that don't seem to be met. Start with the smaller things, which you consider smaller, because you won't be so emotionally attached and you can enter the silence much easier. And when you see these so-called smaller problems dissolved, it will give you courage and strength and understanding to go further and meet some of the bigger ones. And again, if it takes you several times to meet it, that's okay too. And also, if you need to ask someone else for help while you're working on that, that's okay too. Because of our oneness, the minute you reach out to someone else's consciousness, whatever level they attain within themselves, whatever experience, whatever God experience happens to them, also touches you, because now you are within their consciousness. and the presence of God in their consciousness is experienced by you. So, this subject of prayer is a deep one and really can go on and on. But for today, the only thing that I wanted to bring out is that it's not the words, it's not the thoughts. It doesn't take belief, it doesn't take faith. It takes an actual God experience. And the God experience happens in a moment ye think not. Be still and know, as a conscious awareness, that I, within you, am God. That's an experience. Those are not words that we trust or believe in. Faith plays no part in it at all. The only faith involved is that you have the faith to pick up the tool and practice it, because you see it working for someone else. But in the practicing of the presence, in learning how to become still, you will have the God experience, and it will happen again and again, until, as everyone agrees, it becomes an automatic experience. Problems are brought to you, or people reach out to you of which you are not even aware, and the problem is met because they've reached out to that God consciousness. Later they come and tell you, you know, I asked you for help, and the problem was met, but you must already be aware of that. But you're not. You're not aware of it. But you are aware that God in your consciousness can meet anything. So what I'm trying to say is that true prayer is the God experience, and nothing less than that is true prayer. Contemplation is necessary, and it really doesn't matter how long you've been on this path. There are some things that appear to be difficult problems that will put you in a place where you need to begin with contemplation. But other things, you're able to just step within, instantly become quiet, feel that robe of Christ consciousness descend upon you, and the problem is met all within 5 seconds. And another thing that we must bring up here is that if you spend a lot of time in meditation, this ability to turn within quickly and attain the silence and become aware of the presence of God becomes easier and easier. You're able to do it a lot faster. But if you are caught up in the world's problems, let's say that you watch the news a lot and you worry over the state of the nation or the state of the world, or let's say that you read a lot of novels that are talking about things that are gross, such as lust and murder and those kind of things. Well, you pull your state of awareness down, and it's easier to get caught into struggling again over the appearance of a problem. And so to really become proficient to the point where Joel was, where he could meet over 300 problems a day, requires that you maintain that state of awareness and spend a great deal of the time in meditation. That's why he says hours and hours, days and weeks. This is not a part-time job. This is a full-time job. And so, to maintain that state of awareness will make you a practitioner. People will seek you out, and they will ask you for help. Strangers will ask you to pray for them. Because we know on an intuitive level when someone has a spiritual awareness and when they just have the words. You can feel it, and you can tell by the results. So if you want to become proficient at this, then you will need to let some things go. But I can tell you that the joy and the love that you feel when you experience the presence of God in everyone and everything is so far beyond any temporary happiness you can get from the world's pleasures that it doesn't even compare. There's no comparison. It's like having a wonderful holiday in the woods or at the ocean compared to just watching a travelogue on TV. It just doesn't compare. Now, one final thought on this prayer, and I can see we're going to have to make some more talks on it, but one final thought today. There is no problem in heaven or on earth greater than I within you. I in the midst of thee am mighty. There is nothing, no problem on earth greater than that I within you. And now understand what that means. There's no problem that can ever be presented to you that is greater than that presence within you that you become aware of in your meditation. Nothing, not even death. When he went to that tomb and called out, "Lazarus, come forth," when he, after 3 days, walked out of his tomb, he revealed once and for all that the greatest enemy, called death, is not great enough in the presence of God. It's nothing. And so ultimately, the final enemy, death itself, will be overcome only by the actual awareness of the living presence. That's what does the overcoming. God is constantly available, constantly. That presence is within everyone and everything, and I know this by living experience, not because I read it somewhere. But to be aware of that presence is what meets the problem, and nothing else will do it. Therefore, my job is to practice the presence, remembering God before I open that door, consciously thinking and contemplating on God as much as I can throughout the day. My job is sitting down into meditation and starting with contemplation until I can leave the problem outside. My job is to create an opening and in the silence, in the stillness, become aware that God is omnipresence itself. And with the experience of that presence, my job is to be a witness as it dissolves whatever problem was presented. And this I do. I know there are many, many people that read the books but do not believe that these problems can really be met. But I'm telling you from 34 years of experience that there is no problem that cannot be met, including death. I have seen cysts the size of tennis balls dissolve. I have seen digits on the human body turn black and the doctor about to amputate them, and I have seen them restored. I have seen people on the edge of death in a coma get up and walk again. And so when I say that there is no problem that cannot be met, that's exactly what I mean. But belief has nothing to do with it. It will require the God experience within you. And now I know we've covered a lot, and perhaps we can go into detail on some of these individual principles. but I wanted to give an overall view and to let it be known that nothing short of the God experience will meet these problems. But every one of you hearing this talk can walk this path, can practice these principles to the point where you will be able to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will be able to turn within and almost at will become attuned, become aware to that presence of God within you, stretching forth into omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. This will become a living experience which will make you a light unto the world. Blessings, and may you come to know that God is a living experience. Thank you.